thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about True Things. It's very exciting to be able to talk about it. I saw it back at London Film Festival. It's always nice to follow the film's journey and kind of, you know, get to the point when lots more audiences will see it as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it getting out there now.
How has the journey kind of been for you in terms of timing? Because obviously you showed at London Film Festival, but even before that, of course, the pandemic affected your journey quite a bit in terms of the timings and, you know, how are you feeling now?
You know what, this film has sort of felt like never ending. I mean, I bought the rights to the book sort of over 8 years ago. So the development of it took a long time, and getting it made took a long time, or to the point of being made. Mm-hmm. And then we did a week's filming, and then the pandemic hit. So we shut down for 4 or 5 months, or 4.5 months. And then we finished it, which was amazing and felt amazing, actually, because we thought maybe that was it. And then, yeah, the last year has been sort of all the festivals. And luckily we got to go to Venice. That was still happening. So that was an amazing experience. And to have it premiere there was brilliant. And Toronto, London. But now we've had this sort of 5 month gap before it's come out here. So it's anticipating getting it out, really. It's I just want to get it out now.
You're nearly there.
But you know what was lovely in a way is that I have had the chance. It's been a long process, but in some ways it's been a really enjoyable one, and one mm-hmm. that I'm really proud of. So actually it's quite nice to string it out for as long as possible. Yeah, it'd be sad to actually not have to speak about it anymore.
Well, look, I've got loads of questions, so don't worry. We're going to go go through all of it now.
Right.
I'm wondering if you could talk me back to kind of first reading the book, and I mean, what struck you in it? And I suppose more specifically, I'm wondering what made you think of it for film? Because obviously you've worked a lot in TV as well. What were the details that really stuck out to you?
So I read the book 8 years ago, and to me, it felt like a series of confessions. It was about this woman in a very, you know, in the sort of early stages of a romance. And there was something just really forensic about that experience.
Kate. It's like you're on another bloody planet.
Okay, so it usually takes about 3 to 5 weeks for a claim to be processed. Do you have any other questions?
What are you doing for lunch?
It was really subjective, and I hadn't, at that point, there wasn't much material out there on film or TV that really dealt with that female experience so inside the psyche of a woman during that time. We've since had, you know, Fleabag and I May Destroy You, but this still felt really quite acutely observational and truthful, and both in a sort of brutal way, but really funny too. She was a character that I felt, wow, I find her really funny. She observes the world in a really cynically honest way, at the same time being at the will of the world too, and sort of a victim of it in some ways. So I thought that was really fascinating. I mean, the book goes down quite a dark route. It goes into sort of more physical abuse. And as I was working with Harry, we preferred sort of, or we found it more interesting, or we sort of found ourselves circling the first half of the book.
It's really interesting hearing you talk about those two halves of the book. I haven't read it, but it hearing you talk about it, it makes me think of Sally Rooney's Normal People, which, you know, I read that a few years ago. And I was really struck by that kind of thing in the book as well, in the sense that the first half is going through this very intense relationship between these two people. They're much younger than the people in True Things. But and then the second half of the book goes into quite heavy physical abuse and self-hate and all this kind of thing. It's just interesting having seen that. Obviously, very different stories and projects. And, you know, that ended up as a TV adaptation. But it's interesting kind of seeing the different ways and routes it comes on screen.
And I think also, I mean, Normal People, and I read it a while ago, it does delve into the male character as well. The book only sits with Kate. He's an object, really. And actually, it's not really about the relationship. It's more about her self-actualization in that relationship. So in some ways, if you were to make it into a TV thing, you'd have to delve a lot deeper into him and start exploring that character, which could be really fun, but it kind of wasn't what we were interested in. Exploring. We wanted to really dig into this woman's experience and actually keep the man as an object, which women are so often have been in film and TV, actually keep him slightly at a distance. Because often, and we were talking with Harry, she was saying, you know, often those those first moments of a relationship are like that. You don't really know the person. You know, you don't know their family, you don't know their history, you don't know anything, but you can have these incredibly intimate moments with someone that you barely know. It's really interesting. And so we love that conflict of she's so obsessed by this individual and romanticizes this man and projects so much onto him and yet barely knows him. And that was always what was really interesting to us. So I thought, again, it felt like something that we wanted to keep inside her head, and that meant that the story would be limited, really. There's not much. I think an hour and a half, that's enough to tell that story.
But then, I mean, when you see the man in question, Blonde, who's played by Tom Burke, he's so striking. And I mean, it's an incredible performance that, you know, balances yours in very quite disarming ways, which is, you know, very impressive.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Are you interrogating me? How come you're always like this?
Like what?
I'm wondering, as an actor, how do you build that relationship with Tom when the whole point is that there is that kind of distance between you and it is somewhat unbalanced and one-sided and there's all these miscommunications? How is that experience then, you know, I suppose working together as actors to be so separate in a way in your characters?
Initially, it was interesting because the way the character is written in the book, and he's not got given a name, he's called Blonde, you know, you'd never find out his name. Or I think you do in the first scene, but you don't actually, I never call him by his name. And you find little tidbits of information about him. It's quite hard for Tom to build a character around that in a way. But Harry was really intent that she didn't want the character to be an object, didn't want him to be a sort of stereotypical just guy that she falls in love with. She wanted him to be more three-dimensional, because then you'd understand why Kate fell for him too, you know, and he's more mysterious in that way. And you want to know what their connection is. He does make her feel better. You know, he does make her feel alive. So you need to see that on the screen. So Tom and Harry and I all built a sort of backstory for him too. But I think in the playing of it, I don't know, sometimes it's just down to chemistry and connection and openness and trust. I mean, as soon as Tom came on set, we did like two rehearsal days, but as soon as he came on set, I knew I had my play partner. Mm. And it's just, you know, it's about what you're trying to get from each other and in that moment, and yes, how you did the different tactics you use to try and get it and surprising each other. And but our connection was always very, there's a trust there. So that was always very easy to achieve. It was interesting when the tables were turned later in the movie, when I start to have power or seemingly have more power. Mm. And it suddenly, the dynamic changed. And that was interesting. It happened on the set too. So like, oh, suddenly, yeah. Tom's like, oh, you don't fancy me anymore. I mean, not me, but like the character of Kate. He's like, oh, suddenly feeling sort of out of the sun, you know, in the same way that I was feeling in the sun in his gaze. So I don't know. I can't explain it. I think actors, it's different with each person. But I think Tom and I are just, we've known each other for years. So it was really lovely. And there was instant trust and connection. And, you know, if he threw something at me, I'd catch it and throw it back and things like that. So it's just, we were there supporting each other.
Yeah. So when you first read the book and, you know, had to imagine what Kate imagines, was he someone that you maybe had in mind quite early on, or did that change over the years? And, you know, did certain qualities that you knew about him as a person come into focus later?
No, it's interesting. I because Tom is so, he's so clever and intellectual and so cerebral. And, you know, he wasn't my initial thought for Blonde, to be totally honest. But Harry was totally right in, like, she was like, no, Tom, I mean, Tom's a brilliant actor. And certainly seeing him in The Souvenir, it was like, wow, he's can play that sort of mysterious, charismatic, sort of unattainable man that's really can confuse women, because he kind of is lacking, it has an inability to be intimate. So he's sort of pulling away the whole time. But watching that, you go, that's not Blonde. Blonde is much sort of, I don't know, sort of more front-footed and louder and wilder. And so I was like, I'm not sure. I think he might be too intelligent for it. But actually, whatever, his essence is that, but it makes it three-dimensional. It makes it so much more interesting. And actually, it makes it sort of a match for Kate and for me in those moments. And Harry was so right in going, no, because, okay, he might have the essence underneath, but he'll, on top, he'll put this other surface on. And the combination of the two will be really interesting. And she was totally right. So honestly, like I said, when he first came on, he came on at the end of the first week of filming, just before we shut down for COVID. And I thought, ah, oh, I found my play partner. This is great. Yeah. The film begins.
Yeah, it must have been quite nice to you know, obviously very frustrating to have to stop, but to have had a little taste of, you know, how the journey was going to carry on, at least, and not wonder for months on end, you know, who she was going to be in love with.
It was sort of heartbreaking in some ways, because we had no, you know, at that point, no one knew. We thought we might all be dead, you know. I don't know. Like, it was like, what? It was such a weird time. And the week before, literally, with the last, one of the last films to shut down. So I think we shut down on like the, you know, the 16th or something, just before the whole world shut down. And it was just those endless days, you know, looking on your phone in between takes going, what? This is insane.
If I stop looking, maybe it'll disappear.
Disappear and just go back into a scene. And then the anxiety was extraordinary. And that last day was sort of, in some ways, it's a relief, because we're like, okay, we've made a decision. We're not filming anymore. But it was, yeah, it was sort of bittersweet, because we'd just got to the point of meeting Blonde and knew that that was, the potential was there, and then maybe we would never be able to finish this film. So, you know, all that time, we didn't know if we'd ever get back. I mean, we were determined to, but Harry had a baby in between. So she was pregnant when we started, and she was with baby when we ended. And so she had a 6-week-old baby with her when we went back to filming. Wow. The journey of it has been amazing, but yeah, it was slightly like, oh no, we just got there.
Yeah. Well, so I'd love to hear more about your working relationship with Harry, in terms of, had you seen Only You before? How did she come onto the project, and what was it about her that made you really excited to collaborate?
It's a while ago now, so Only You hadn't been made. And so she had done these short films, which I'd seen and loved. And we'd talked about Only You actually as well. But I'd read it, but she hadn't filmed it yet. And she was working with Tristan, who's a friend of mine from uni, Tristan Gallagher at the Bureau. And we were looking to do something with Tristan. And we took this book to him already. So he was the one that introduced us to Harry. And we watched her films. And actually, I thought when I met her, I thought, no, she reminds me a bit of Kate herself. And like this wild imagination and inside her own head a lot. And I thought, actually, she gets it. She totally gets the character and the world of it. And then we started working on it together. And it was quite a process, because it was adapting this book. It was like us focusing on where we really felt the interest of the book was. It was dealing with Blonde, who's actually quite a hard character to bring to the screen, because you don't know much about him. And he's sort of an object of her desire rather than actually, you know, fully formed. So we had to keep playing with that. But I loved it. And I think, and Harry was always insistent on me. I'd seen her in the meantime, she made Only You. So I watched it, and it was brilliant. And I realized how much she's really non-judgmental as a screenwriter and a director. That she's all about finding the sort of honesty of each moment and of you as a person. So she sort of hates acting, you know, in some ways. So in a way, she always wanted me. She wrote Kate, having started to know me, she started writing bits in there that were like me, and sort of shaping the character a little bit more around me and my sort of the side I probably don't show on screen much.
How did that make you feel? Was it a bit unnerving, or did it make you more confident?
It was really quite unnerving to begin with, because it's that thing of like, I don't know how to be me. I mean, on screen, like, it's like, well, that's, I always play other characters. So to be sort of observed as you feels not interesting enough, to be clear, to be honest. It feels like that's really not very interesting. But I learned, it actually became really liberating. And I found by the end of the filming and the second section after coming back from COVID, that I found it really freeing to be observed. And I let out my little clown, my inner clown, that you guys don't see often, but my sort of quirky self, which you don't often see. So she really encouraged that and helped sort of make me feel comfortable enough to reveal that.
That's really interesting to hear about this kind of freeing experience, because I've read you say, you know, talking about True Things, obviously you were a producer on it and, you know, the driving force in getting this made, and mentioned that it can sometimes be about creating roles for yourself that you might not be offered otherwise. What do you think it might have been about Kate in particular that doesn't align in the eyes of other people, of casting directors and things like that, that might not click in the same way, that meant that you had to make the project happen?
Well, again, I go back to it being quite a while ago that I got this book. So at that time I was doing, I think I'd done Luther and I was doing plays, but I was doing the sort of film stuff that was around, was often mothers with babies being left crying mothers with babies. And I found myself in 1 year like playing three of them or two of them. I was like, okay, I'm just not doing this again. I mean, I have played mothers with babies since, but I was like, oh, this part is so boring. And it's like slightly, well, it's just like, oh, there's not enough in here for me. Mm-hmm. I sort of want to interrogate what it is to be a woman. And I felt that's a very small slice and there's almost not enough material on the page. That's a kind of a very sort of broad wash of one version of a woman or one moment in a woman's life. And so I thought I wasn't really being, or there wasn't the material around. I don't think, like I said at the time, there wasn't these very subjective points of view on a female experience. And, but also there weren't that many scripts even around for women that were sort of experiencing this sort of thing. And they weren't coming my way, even if there were. So I thought, great, this is a sort of a messy character that I hadn't seen before and wasn't coming my way, that felt, it was one, it wasn't period. It wasn't sort of slightly arch. It was natural and truthful and honest and funny and a little bit of quirk in it. And I thought actually, and imaginative. So I thought, I haven't seen that. And it's still very different to other stuff I've done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm wondering also in terms of, you know, these stories of very intense infatuation and kind of impulsive behavior and that kind of thing. A lot of the films and TV that I've seen that talk about this kind of thing, it's very limited to a certain age. There are quite few stories about this that I've seen, at least, that tackle people who are above the age of 22, 23, maybe. Is that something that you noticed as well? I mean, I couldn't tell you how old I think Kate or Blodd are, but, you know, they're not teenagers.
No, I mean, exactly. I sort of felt, well, actually, I've been both Kate and Blonde in past relationships and, you know, late 20s into 30s. And I still know friends of mine who are like both characters too, you know? So it's like, actually, I don't think it goes away. And the dating landscape these days is quite difficult. And there is a sort of, I think it's very common actually. And I found people watching this film, the reactions to it are really interesting. People have very different interpretations of, they relate to different parts of the film. They might relate to Kate, or they might really not like her, or they might relate to the friend of Kate's who has seen, so you might know a friend that's like that. Or it's been really interesting how people kind of interpret the film and what they get from it and who they understand more. But it's very relatable, whether it's you that's been through that or you've seen someone go through it. It feels like a really common universal experience, both for men and women. So I just thought it's a universal experience of being in the throes of love or the first stages of infatuation. And there, you know, Harry describes it like Midsummer Night's Dream, is that like the magic dust drops on you and suddenly you're overwhelmed and you fall in love with a donkey, you know, and then the veil lifts and that weird moment where suddenly it all becomes clear and you're like, oh my god, that was, he's a donkey.
I have to deal with this now.
Yeah, no, he's a donkey, why? And then I've got to end it somehow. And I've been in that situation, so it's like weird, it just lifts out of nowhere. And I thought that fascinated me. It's like, what is that about? So in a way, it's like this character of Kate. And what I also love about what we've done with Two Things is the character's not often strong women, or like either women are sort of weak and sort of vulnerable and emotional, and or they're sort of strong, front-footed, confident, messy. You know, that I feel like Kate is somewhere in between. She seems quite shy and quite quiet, and almost all her talents have been, all, you know, her inner self hasn't really come out yet. Like she's sort of hasn't had the confidence to expose who she really is. And through her relationship with Blonde, he does reveal herself to herself. It's a self-actualization film. It's like she understands who she is, or she starts to understand who she is through her relationship with him. And I think that's what people do. They sort of analyze themselves through their relationships. And I just think it's one of those experiences that you look back on, like a relationship you look back on 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later, and you're like, why? What was that about? Why did I go there? And why was I so obsessed in it? Or why did I care so much? Or what was that about? You know, so I think we've all been there, whether we've been on one side of it or the other. And that's fascinating to me. And is that about expectations? Is it purely chemical that you have this connection with someone that just dries up after a while? Is it like expectations of what you think you want? And so you project everything onto this person and imagine them to be something they're not. And then suddenly you realize, is it the hope of that, you know? Is it not the desperate need not to be lonely and the desperate need to connect. So all those things are playing into why you do that. We're not really asking why. We're sort of more just showing it happening. Mm.
It's quite healing as an audience member to see that. And I can imagine, you know, a lot of questions we don't want to ask ourselves. It can be like, okay, thank God someone else is doing it for me. And now that is there. you can return to the film at different points in your life, I suppose, once you've taken more distance from whichever relationship it is or that you do or do not want to see.
Yeah.
I am aware that I'm very much running out of time, but I want to ask you one more question before I go. You know, we've talked about your working relationship with Harry and yourself being a producer and everything. I'm really interested to hear about how the experience on set was for you, having such a female-led set, because obviously your DOP is Ashley Connor as well, and obviously Deborah Kay's book and everything. How much do you really notice a difference when you do have so many more women? Because, you know, I've seen a lot of films that I think are very impressive about women directed by men, but what is the experience like for you?
I love it, actually, and I think that this was very female-centric in a way. We had a female line producer, we had our female DP, Ashley Connor, which was pivotal, actually, having Ashley, myself and Harry on set together every day telling this story, all having experienced something similar or knowing that experience or knowing someone that had. It felt really safe, it felt really intimate, it felt like the scenes, intimate scenes in terms of things like me shaving my legs, you know, things in the bathroom. It's like, we've all been there. We know exactly what it is like for a woman trying to quickly get ready, you know, like to see a guy and, oh my God, I haven't shaved my legs, got to do it. So I just think that there was a shorthand and a compatibility between us and understanding and sensitivity or clarity, actually, about what that was, and completely non-judgmental. It wasn't sort of trying to make me look, objectify me as more beautiful or more ugly in that moment or more vulnerable, whatever. It was just, that's what it is being a woman. And I felt that was really refreshing. I've never had that on a set before, when it's because it was three of us telling that story and being really honest about the story. And even with Ashley, she's quite an intuitive filmmaker and camera operator as well as DP. And so she will be in with me, in with Kate's emotions as she's feeling them. And she would find things and discover things in the play of the scene that would sort of show what I was doing physically and sensually. It would get that across too. So I don't know, I found it really wonderful to be amongst so many women telling a very subject, it's very subjective, this piece. It's not, it's so inside her head. It's so inside her experience. So it's sort of marvelous, wonderful in that way, having those women being at the center of that. But we, you know, having said that, we had loads of brilliant guys working on it too, mm-hmm. amazing. So we had our composer, Alex Baranowski, who's amazing. And in a similar way, the music had to really represent Kate. We found that if we were just plonking music on top, it didn't quite work. Again, the piece is so subjective that the music has to be representative of Kate too and has to reflect her emotions, not what we as an audience are feeling. So it's more about what she's feeling in that moment. So for example, there's a scene in the car park where she's having sex. And as an audience, you might be going, what are you doing? This is dangerous. This guy you don't know, you're having sex with him in the car park. But the music is quite light because for her, she's having a great time. So we had to kind of, but Alex was amazing at doing that. So, you know, I think it was marvelous. It was brilliant having women at the center of it that were driving this very centric female story. But we had brilliant men around too, supported and contributed, and also could watch women, observe women too, and understand that. But no, it felt really refreshing. And I want to do more of that. I love working.
Yeah.
I've worked with many women, and it's really both writers, directors. There's so many more out there. And that's kind of my remit, is to be doing that more.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I look forward to many more projects like this and different to this with you, you know, working through all of these very complex feelings. And I'm looking forward to audiences finally seeing it as well, for everyone else to figure out their way through it.
Good. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you so much for your time, and congratulations again.
Thanks a lot. Bye.